Okay, today we are going to finish Masechet Rosh Hashanah. We're starting on Lamed Dalet Amud Bet, about 10 lines from the bottom. Kishem Sheshliach Tzibor Chayav, Kach Kol Yachiv V'Yachiv Chayav. Okay, if you remember in the Mishnah, we saw that there was a machloket between Rabban Gamliel and the Tanna Kamma. Just bring that back to the Mishnah. Okay, on the Mishnah Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, it says, Kishem Sheshliach Tzibor Chayav, Kach Kol Yachiv V'Yachiv Chayav. We talked about whether this was talking about Tzkiot or the Shemona Esrei, and whether it's talking about every Amidah, or whether it was talking just about Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Shliach Tzibor Motzia Tarabim Yedei Chovatan. According to Rabban Gamliel, the Shliach Tzibor can be Motzi, everybody. People don't have to say their own individual tefillah. So today we're going to get into more details about what is exactly this machloket, and what did they disagree about, and what maybe did they agree about anything. Different misarot about what this was. Tanya. So now we have a braita. Amrula Rabban Gamliel. This braita is going to be a discussion between Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim about this issue. Amrula Rabban Gamliel. They said to Rabban Gamliel, Lidvarecha, lama tzibor mitpalelin. If you say that the Shliach Tzibor could be motzi everybody, then what's the point of the Tzibor davening? Amar lahem, kedei lahastir Shliach Tzibor tefilato. It's a stalling tactic, so that the Shliach Tzibor can have time to work out his tefilot and what he's going to say, so everybody else davens quietly, and that buys him some time. Amar lahem Rabban Gamliel. Now Rabban Gamliel says to them, well, I have a question for you. L'divrechem, lama Shliach Tzibor yored lefnei hateva? What's the point of having the Shliach Tzibor? If everybody's obligated on their own, then what's the point of having a Shliach Tzibor? Amru lo, kedei lehotzi et she'eino baki. Chachamim say to him, it's to be motzi, the people who don't know how to say their own tefillah. There's a bunch of things that we've talked about here that I want to review. One of them is that it's clear here that the way we have tefillot nowadays, which we take as a given, that everybody davens by themselves, the Shliach Tzibor goes over it, is not the way things were going on then necessarily, and that there were three categories of people. There were the people who didn't know how to daven themselves, and they clearly didn't daven. They didn't have sidurim in those days, so they didn't know how to put together their own tefillot. Again, like we talked about, the tefillot weren't really set, so there were certain rules, and people had to know how to word their own tefillot, and that is much more complicated than, I mean, yes, it's a challenge for us to daven today from a sitter. On the other hand, to have to make your own tefillot definitely seems to be more of a challenge. Those who knew the tefillah, so there were those who didn't know the tefillah, they would be yotzei al yeshlech tzibor. There were those who knew the tefillah, and according to Chachamim, those people would have a chiyuv to daven. And in addition, the shlech tzibor would also say a tefillah. Okay, so those are the three groups of people. The Eno Baki, the Baki, and the Shliach Tzibor. Okay. Now, Rabban Gamliel says, I don't like what you're saying. You say that the Shliach Tzibor's point is just to be motzi et she'eno baki. But once the Shliach Tzibor has the power to be motzi someone, whether they're baki or eno baki shouldn't really matter. And that's the next line here. Of the Braita, he says, Amar lahem, kishem shemotzi et she'eno baki, kach motzi et habaki. If already the Shliach Tzibor has the power to be motzi other people, he can be motzi the baki and the eno baki. That's the braita. So we have a machloket between Rabban Gamliel and Chachamim, whether there's an obligation on every individual to pray. And if there is an obligation, according to Chachamim, they would agree, though, that if you don't know how to daven, then the Shliach Tzibor could be motzi you. And according to Rabban Gamliel, who says there is no chiyuv on every individual to daven, clearly the Shliach Tzibor can be motzi anybody. Amar Rabbi Baruchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Baruchana says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Modim Chachamim leRabban Gamliel. Chachamim, in the end of this discussion, agreed with Rabban Gamliel, and they said, you know what, you're right. Once we said the Shliach Tzibor could be motzi people who aren't baki, they also must be able to include the people who are baki, and therefore they change their mind. V'Rav Amar, not Rabbi Yochanan, but Rav says, Adayini machloket. No, Chachamim are not moted to Rabban Gamliel at the end of this discussion. So there's a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav about whether or not modim chachamim l'Rabban Gamliel. Now we're going to have a story about this mesoret of Rabbi Yochanan. Shama Rabbi Chia Berei de Rabbi Bar Nachmani. He heard what Rabbi Bar Chana said. Azal Amre l'shmata kamedur of Dimi Bar Chinina. Amar le, so he heard the modim chachamim l'Rabban Gamliel, and he went to Rav Dimi Bar Chinina and told him this. Amar le, hachi amarav adayin hi machloket. He said, no, I don't agree with that. Rav says adayin hi machloket. Amar le, so then he says back to him, Rabba Rabba Chana nami hachi kamar. Rabba Rabba Chana also said this. What did he say? Hachi kamar. Ki ka amar Rabbi Yochanan lahashmata. If li gale rish lakish v'amar adayin hi machloket. Even when we have this Masorah from Rabba Rabba Chana that Rabbi Yochanan says that modim chachamim, if they agree with Rabban Gamliel, even Rabbi Bar Chana knew that not everybody agreed with this. And he also brought down Rish Lakish, who said, Adayin hi machloket. So you have in the end that Rav holds that Adayin hi machloket, as does Rish Lakish, versus Rabbi Yochanan, who thinks the Chachamim were moda to Rabban Gamliel. But now the Gemara has a problem with the fact that Rabbi Yochanan would say that modim Chachamim. Why? First we had a problem because other people said it was a machloket, but now even Rabbi Yochanan himself says that dayin hi machloket. How do we know that? Say, umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, did he really say that? V'ha amar Rabbi Chana Tziporai, amar Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Chana from Tzipori say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, hilchata k'Rabban Gamliel? The halacha in this case is like Rabban Gamliel. Now when somebody says the halacha is like so-and-so, it means, michlav, from here we can infer, depligay, that somebody disagrees with this. That it's not according to everybody that this is the case. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to paskin halacha like him. So if Rabbi Yochanan said, at least they passed down in Rabbi Yochanan's name, that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, it must be that there's a machloket. Ki salik Rabbi Abba, miyame. When Rabbi Abba came from the water, he was... doesn't mean literally from the water. It means from a trip. He went on a trip over water on a boat. When he came from there, Pirsha, he explained, Modim Chachamim L'Rabban Gamliel. Okay, he said, by the way, this is what I learned when I was abroad. Okay, probably I assume he was in Eretz Yisrael, and he came back from Eretz Yisrael, and he brought the Masoret. Says, Modim chachamim l'Rabban Gamliel bebrachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom HaKippurim. So what does he say? That they're modim, in which case, in the brachot of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. V'halacha michlal de pligye bebrachot de kol hashana. So what do we have here? From the fact that he says that modim and the brachot of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, we can and then he says halacha like Rabban Gamliel. When Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha ke Rabban Gamliel, and we assumed that they were cholek, that's referring to the brachot of Kol Hashanah. So now we're going to distinguish when he said that you can be motzi even at she'eno baki, and chachamim agreed with him. That was in the case specifically of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They agreed that the shlech tzibur can be motzi even she'eno baki. But in the case of brachot to kol hashana, then they're not motzi. They don't agree. They think that the shlech tzibur can only be motzi someone who's not baki. So then they say, Ini, could it really be that that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant? V'ha amar Rabbi Chana tzipora, amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabban Gamliel, bebrachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. No, he said it explicitly. Okay, in the name of Rabbi Chana Tzipora, passing down the words of Rabbi Yochanan, he said it explicitly that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. We tried to say when he said halacha ke Rabban Gamliel, it was in the case of Kol Hashanah, but not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But then he says explicitly by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's the case where we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, which implies the Chachamim would disagree. So now what do they say? Ala Amar Rav Nachman. So we still have a problem. What's our problem? Going back, our question is, how could Rabbi Bar Chana said that Rabbi Yochanan says that modim chachamim, in which case are modim chachamim to Rabban Gamliel? It can't be Now we proved it can't be in Brachot Kol Hashana, because there we're assuming that they're Chulkim. And it can't be in the Brachot of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, because we're also assuming now that they're Chulkim, because we have the statement of Rabbi Chana Tzipori. So it can't be that. So what could be the case? So now we have a totally different approach. It's not that he said Modim Chachamim. Ela Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mam Modim. It's not Chachamim who are Modim. Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the one who is Modet Rabban Gamliel. Not the Chachamim. V'halacha Michlal Depligei Rabbanan. And then when he paskins Halacha, is what happened. There were three opinions. There were Chachamim and Rabban Gamliel that we saw in our Mishnah. But now we're going to learn that there was a third opinion, and we're going to see it in a Braita. There was a third opinion of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir happened to agree with Rabban Gamliel in the case of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He didn't agree with them, with Rabban Gamliel, in the case of Kol Hashanah. And Rabban Gamliel and Chachamim don't agree with him at all. So when they say Halacha ke Rabban Gamliel, we assume that it's Rabban Gamliel against Chachamim. But Rabbi Meir actually agreed with him. Okay? So now let's read. Let's see the Braita. Detanya, Brachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom HaKippurim, Shliach Tzibur Motzi HaRabim Yedei Chovatan, Devei Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, K'shem Sheshliach Tzibur Chayav, Kach Kol Yachid V'Yachid Chayav. So what do we have here? We have specifically about, it's talking, this Braita is specifically Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And what do we have? Rabbi Meir says, the Shliach Tzibur can be motzi everybody Yedei Chovatan. And Chachamim say, no, K'shem Shliach Tzibur Chayav, every individual is chayav on their own to daven. And therefore, the Shliach Tzibur can't be motzi him unless he's Eino Baki. So now they say, well, what's the difference? Till now, we haven't really talked about this, but what's the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim versus everyday tefillah? Mai Shnahane. That in that case, Rabbi Meir would agree with Rabban Gamliel, and in other cases of Kol Hashanah, he wouldn't agree with Rabban Gamliel. So now what do they say? Ilema, if you're going to say Mishum Didafishe Cry, because there's so many psukim, and it's hard for everyone to remember. So even She'eno Baki, it's hard work for him to say all those psukim. We all know how long it is to say Rosh Hashanah davening. I have memories as a child of my father. When we got up to Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, he would make a joke to me saying, I'll pick you up later this evening, because he knew that when I was a kid and I tried to say all the words, it took me a very long time. So as to not to be matriach everybody, just the Shliach Tzibur says it. But they say that doesn't make any sense. Why? V'ha amar Rav Chananel, amar Rav, Rav Chananel passes down the name of Rav. Kevan sha'amaru b'toratcha katuv lemor, shuv eino tzarich. I don't know if you ever heard this shortcut. We don't really do this nowadays. But if you were to say, and in the Torah it says like this, and then you don't list all the psukim, that's okay. You can be Yotze. Okay, so now we have an interesting halacha. There's the Mefarshim have a lot of difficulty understanding this, because we had a whole discussion earlier in the Masechet about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva, how many psukim of Malchiyot you have to mention. And according to this statement of Rav, all you have to do is say, and in the Torah it says like this. And I assume he means also you have to say, and in the Nevi'im it says like this, and in the Ketuvim it says like this. But basically, you give your introduction to Malchiyot, you say the concept, and then you say, and it also appears in the Torah, and it also appears in the Nevi'im, and it also appears in the Ketuvim, and your Yotze. In which case, how does that affect what we were talking about? Because if you say that, then it's not really such a long davening, and it's not so complicated for people, because there's a way out, there's an easy way. You could take a shortcut, you could say, it just says so in the Torah. Now, some people say this can't be because of the machlok of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. And because of that, they say they must not be talking about Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot. But what psukim are we referring to here that you could just say, B'toratcha Katuv Lemor? And then it makes sense it's also just B'toratcha Katuv. In Musaf, of all the davenings, and particularly, you know, also in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's not only do you have the Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot, but in addition, you have the Musaf. You say the Korbanot that they brought on that day. And therefore, they're saying the Musaf part, which mentions all the sacrifices brought on that day, there you can take a shortcut. So that just shortens your Shmona Esrei. So yes, you have your 10 Psukim Malchiyot, 10 Zichronot, 10 Shofarot, but when it comes to the Psukim about Musaf, you can cut out those. and that will make the davening not as long. The problem with saying that, some people don't like that approach, because what do they say? Specifically, Musaf, we say that our tefillot come in place of the sacrifices. And there's a pasuk that says, Unishama parim svatenu, that our svataim, we're going to say the words, and that's going to be in place of giving the korban. So they have a very hard time accepting that instead of saying the Musaf korbanot, we're just going to say, and it says so in the Torah, or and it's kind of like, what do you do? You make a little note, like, see page, whatever, right? It's already all said there. You know, I'm not going to repeat myself. So that's what it says. When you get to the Musaf, and yeah, you can go look in the Torah and see what it is, but you don't have to actually say it in your tefillah. And like I said, it's a bit of a problem for those who see that the describing what we do in the sacrifices is really as if we're fulfilling the sacrifices. Okay. In any case, they say, because of that, shuvei no tzarich, right? You don't have to say anymore. And therefore, it can't be that you don't do it because there's so many psukim in the Amidah of Musaf. So the answer given now is, ela mishum, so what's the difference between Rosh Hashanah and all the regular tefillot of during the year? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, that you don't have to... by the way, I didn't discuss this, but also Yom Kippur doesn't have Machiyot Zichronot and Shofar, but Yom Kippur is also a longer text. And therefore the Musaf one, the fact that Uvatracha Tuvalei Mor is the shortcut for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also makes more sense if you say that it's cutting out the Korbanot and not the Machiyot Zichronot and Shofar. Okay. So now what do they say? Mishum de'avshei brachot. It's because there's a lot of brachot. There's extra brachot. Again, this is a bit of a difficulty for Yom Kippur. It really only works for Rosh Hashanah because there's extra brachot in Rosh Hashanah that aren't in Yom Kippur. Okay. Gufa. So that's why, again, that was to answer why it is that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you can have the Shlich Tzibur be motzi you, since the davening is longer or there's more brachot to say. So therefore, we allow the Shliach Tzibur to be motzi, even someone who's baki. It's an interesting concept. I think it's hard for us to understand. And I wanted to think about this a little bit, about what this means, that you actually don't have to daven and the Shliach Tzibur could be motzi you. As for us, it's very hard to understand. For us, davening on your own is like having someone else daven for you is a very strange concept. Right? We do it when it comes to brachot, like with Kiddush and other things, but when it comes to tefillot, for the most part, we say the tefillot ourselves. We're going to talk about this just a little bit more when we finish the sugya. Gufa. Now we're going to go a little bit more in depth into this shortcut of Uvatarotcha Katuv Lemor. Amar Rav Chananel Amar Rav Kevan Sheamar Uvatarotcha Katuv Lemor Shuv Eino Tzarich. So now, first they say that when people heard this, what did they assume? They assumed something. Savor Mine, they thought what he meant was Hani mile biyachid, aval betzibur lo. This was only if you're an individual saying you're davening. But if you're at tzibur and you're davening together and the shliach tzibur wants to take a shortcut, he can't. He's not allowed shortcuts. But itmar, that's what the people thought, which sounds logical. But itmar, it was said, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, echad yachid echad tzibur, kevan sha'amar uvatartcha katuv lemor, shuv eino tzarich. Okay, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, even at Sibor is allowed to take this shortcut, which is very interesting. Okay, we're going to end this topic right now. We're not really ending. We're ending that little section. Now we're going to go on and we're going to discuss a little bit more about people being motzi other people. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. First, we're going to have this statement of Rabbi Eliezer. Le'olam yastir adam tefilato v'achar kach yitpaleh. Before someone gets up to daven, he should try to work out what he's going to say. You should try to figure it out. Okay, this is also, most of the Mefarshim explain that this is only referring to when you don't have a sitter. And when you don't have a sitter, so you have to figure out what you're going to say before you actually start saying it. You actually have to prepare yourself. Some people say it even refers to when you have a sitter, but it's talking about tefillot that we don't usually say, that come once a year, twice a year, three times a year, infrequent tefillot. The Shlich Tzibur should really go through his tefillah before and practice and make sure it's really clear in his head. Amar Rabbi Abba. Now we're going to have a narrowing of this halacha. Mistabra milde de Rabbi Elazar bebrachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim v'shel Prakim. Aval dekol ha'shana lo. It seems to me that what Rabbi Elazar is saying is only relevant for things that happen once in a while, but not things that happen every day. Aval dekol ha'shana v'shel Prakim. Sorry. Aval dekol ha'shana lo. But really, for the rest of the year, you don't have to, for everyday prayers, you don't have to be misadir your tefillah. Ini, is that really true? Vaha Rav Yehuda misadir tzlote umatzle. It was said about Rav Yehuda that before he would daven, he would figure out what he was going to say. By the way, it's not clear that this is only referring to the Shlach Tzibur. It could be referring also to Yechidu. So before he would daven every day, it seems every day, he would think about his prayers. What are they saying? This is a fascinating statement. Shani Rav Yehuda kevan de mitaltin yomin litaltin yomin hava matzle. He would only daven every 30 days. And because he would only daven every 30 days, he was considered, it was a case like Shel Prakim that we discussed. So therefore, ki prakim dami, the Gemara says. It was like he did it every once in a while. So the Mefreshim explained, what does it mean Rav Yehuda only daven once every 30 days? So they said, because he was on a special madrega that Torato umanuto, he would learn Torah all day long, and that was his job, and that was all he did. He was patur from tefillah. Okay, this is a very interesting thing. The Ramban brings this to say, we talked about this the other day, that the Ramban says that the chiyuv of tefillah is only be'et sarah, and it's not daily. And he learns from here that you can see, because if the chiyuv was midoraita, every day to pray, then clearly he would have to do it. But since the chiyuv is not midoraita to pray, and it's only midorabanan, therefore he didn't have the obligation to do it. The Mefreshim also explained that clearly he was saying Kriyat Shema every day, because Kriyat Shema was midoraita. It was since Tefillah was midorabanan, he didn't have to say Tefillah. And again, that's a proof text for the Ramban. It doesn't help explain Rambam's position. Rambam would have to explain how he, you know, what happened here with Rabbi Yehuda and why he wasn't davening when it was actually a chiyuv doraita, according to the Rambam. Okay, that's just an interesting situation here. Amar Rav Acha, now we're going to go back to Rabban Gamliel. Remember Rabban Gamliel? He said that the Shlach Tzibur is motzi, even someone who's baki. Amar Rav Acha bar Avira, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, poter haya Rabban Gamliel, afilu am shebesadot. Rabban Gamliel would be poter, even people out in the fields. Okay, now, the Gemara has a very strange question. What does it mean he's pot? The point is that when the Shlach Tzibur is davening, he's able to be motzi, even people who are out in the fields. What's the issue with the people in the fields? They're not anywhere where they could come to a shul and daven. And they're not able to, they're busy working, and they don't have time to daven. Again, you see that just like Rav Yehuda wasn't davening, people weren't davening. The concept of tefillah in those days was much, much different than it is nowadays. And part of that is because in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, they weren't davening every day. And not all the individuals. And the whole system was very different. In those days, there were sacrifices, and there were people who came to represent the nation, called the Ma'amadot, and they had some sort of prayer that they would say. Then they would pray that the Korbanot would be accepted. But other than that, most people weren't praying. You pray in a time of need, you pray if you needed something. But prayers weren't set like they are today. And slowly, after the Korban, they started establishing, even before the Korban, because after Korban Bayit Rishon, they already started slowly instituting some tefillot, because they had lived for a little while without sacrifices and needed something in between. But the tefillot are slowly developing toward the end of Bayit Sheni. And even in the time of the Mishnah, after the destruction, it's still not so clear-cut. And even filtering into the time of the Amoraim, certainly not set the way it was today. How much of an obligation is tefillah on the tzibur? How much is of it is on the yachid? How much are we part of, right? How much, in the Beit HaMikdash, it was all the tzibur. The Korban HaTamid Shel Shachar and Ben Arbaim was all the tzibur. And most people didn't have a role in that sacrificing process. And therefore, the switch over to tefillah, when we switch to tefillah, if you really want to set up tefillah like sacrifices, so the structure is really that the tzibur does it. And if you're in shul, then maybe you want to participate. But if you're not in shul, you don't need to participate because what's going on in shul is taking care of you. You don't really have your own personal obligation. And now we're going to see Rabban Gamliel, according to this statement of Rabbi Avira, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasida, He says that Rabban Gamliel was poter even the people in the fields. So now the Gemara asks, what do you mean, even the people in the fields? According to Rabban Gamliel, right, who's more obvious that you're going to include, right? The Gemara now says, Adraba, Hane Anise, Vahane Lo Anise. It seems to be by the statement, Afilu Amsha Besadot, it means, you're motzi, the people who are sitting in shul, and obviously the people who are in the sadot. But shouldn't it be the opposite? The people in the sadot are anusim. They're busy in the field. They can't possibly daven. So therefore, obviously you're going to be motzi them, but who's going to be less likely that you're going to be motzi? The people who are in shul. The people who are in shul should daven themselves. They don't have any reason to be patur. So now they say, no, there is a reason. Detane Abba Bere de Bar Binyamin Barchia, Am She'achorea Kohanim Einam Bichlal Bracha. What do we see? Sorry, one second. Right, according to what we're saying here, at this point we're bringing a strength to this argument. Okay, why would it be that you should only be motzi the people of Shabbos Sadot and not the people that are in shul? And here's an interesting brayta. The brayta says, "Am she achorei koanim einam bechlal bracha." In Birkat Koanim, if you're in shul during Birkat Koanim and you're standing in front of, you're standing behind the Koanim face the people. If you somehow end up being behind the Koanim, okay, or alternatively, you're out in the hallway, okay, you can hear them, but you're not standing in front of them, then their bracha does not extend to you. However, the assumption was that when they're blessing the congregation, they have in mind all the people that couldn't make it to shul, all the people in the fields. So basically, what do you see here? That if you're in shul and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in shul, well, then you shouldn't be yotze. But if you are not in shul because you can't get there, that's a different story. Then the shliach tzibur or the kohanim can be motzi you. So now they say, okay, based on that understanding, we're going to redefine what Rabbi Shimon, what Rabbi Acha Bar Avir said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasida. And it's not just the Gemara says this, but Elakiata Rabin, when Rabin came to Bavel from Eretz Israel, he said to the people in Bavel, oh, don't worry that you have this question, because Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, not Rabbi Acha Bar Avir, but Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, he brought down the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasida, a different version of what Rabbi Shimon Chasida said. And he says, Lo Pata Rabban Gamliel, Ela Am Shebesadot, not Afilu Am Shebesadot, even the people in the fields, but only the people in the fields. That's who Rabban Gamliel said you can pater. So in the end, even though we learned that Rabban Gamliel said in the Mishnah that the Shlich Tzibor can be motzi even someone that is baki, now we're kind of narrowing that. And we're saying it only works, though, if you're a nus and you can't get to shul. Okay? But in my time, Amishum de anise b'malacha, they're busy working and they can't work out their tefillot. Aval be'ir lo. But the people in the city that can figure out how to daven, those people are not pater. Also, the people in the fields are generally known to be not very learned and not very bright. And because of that, it could be also that the issue was that they don't even know how to figure out how to daven, whereas these people do know how to daven. Hadron alach yom tov uslich alach masechet Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we finished now masechet Rosh Hashanah. Before we finish, I just want to talk about how the masechet ends and how this connects to. To me, it looks like it's really connecting to what we began with, and what we have here in masechet Rosh Hashanah, and really in the end of this sugya. It's all about, I started to think about the question, if you were given the option not to daven and have someone else daven for you, would you take it? You always think about, sometimes you're lying in bed and you don't want to get up to go to the bathroom and you say, I wish someone could go to the bathroom for me. Like, it's just one of those things that people just can't do for you. It seems to me, from our understanding of davening, the davening is something nobody else can do for you. Davening is your own personal experience, and even Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch says, Lehit Palel, it's the binyan hitpa'el. Hitpa'el is a reflexive verb. It means it goes back on you. And what's palal? Palal is judgment. And what tefillah is really self-judgment. And it's your way of judging yourself, basically. And it's really, yes, it's for you to speak to God, but it's really for your own sake. And that's the way really tefillah has developed. What could be is in the time of the Amoraim, and that were really the Tanaim that we're having this discussion, Rabban Gamliel and Chachamim, it could be that it wasn't so clear cut to everybody. To Rabban Gamliel, it wasn't so clear cut that every individual had to pray. Prayers were more for the tzibur. And but it evolved over time to become a real experience for the individual. And the idea of someone davening for you really takes away your own individual experience in the davening process. And I thought that really connected with how we started out the Masechet. We started out the Masechet with the Arba Rashei Shanim, and then we had about the Bechag Nidonim Alamayim, and all the different times of year that we get judged for various things. And we talked a lot about the individual and the significance of prayer and how everybody passes before God on Rosh Hashanah and everybody's judged. And that really the Masechet ends with this concept. Really the very last thing about the Masechet is, yes, you can be included in the tzibur, but only if you're anusim. And really you have to do it on your own. And you have to have your own personal experience with it. And because in the end, everybody's judged on Rosh Hashanah. Yes, we're at Tzibur, and the Tzibur has a collective ability to do tshuva together and all that. But on the other hand, it doesn't exclude the individual from having to have his own process and go through it himself. Because, yes, community is very important, and we learned that tshuva is accepted by a community much stronger than by an individual. But that doesn't mean that there's no place for the individual. And constantly in halakha, there's this dichotomy between the individual experience and the tzibur experience, right? How many times have we heard people say, but I have a much better davening if I daven at home, right? Rather than davening in shul when this pace is too fast or it's too slow and I get bored and I can't focus and so many things like that. So we constantly are struggling between trying to have our own individual experience and yet also trying to experience it through the tzibur. And that is definitely the conflict here that's going on at the end of this Masechet, talking about, and at the end, what are they really highlighting? They're highlighting in the end the individual experience. And that even to Rabban Gamliel, who said that the Shlech Tzibur could be motzi, even those that aren't baki, in the end, they limit that. And they really seem to imply they're really only talking about someone who's baki who can't make it to shul. You know, and not really someone who's baki who's in shul, because really everybody owes it to themselves to have their own personal experience. And my understanding of it is that this also changed over time. And that's why here when the Amoraim are talking about it, it's already different from when Rabban Gamliel said it, because they can't, it's hard, just like it's hard for us to view Rabban Gamliel's opinion, it was hard for them to view it, because even by then, the tefillot had evolved much more so into an individual experience. Okay, that's a thought to take with you as we move into now Masechet Ta'anit, where we're going to get into all the issues of the Ta'aniyot Tzibur that they would institute specifically for fasts that the Tzibur needed as there were needs that came up for the Tzibur. So again, we're going to get into the Tzibur issues, and maybe we'll see there also how the individual plays into it.